Hey, this is Gabriel, and I just wanted to give you a little bit of context as to what this video is about so that you don't jump into it not knowing what's happening. So in the interview with Alexandra, there was a story in the middle that was edited out since it was long. It wasn't really important to the plot of the story, but it's still interesting, so I didn't want to just get rid of it. Instead, I decided to release it in this video on Locals. To give you a bit of context as to when this happened, this story was before Alexandra was sent to a mental hospital. If you watch the extra footage, it'll actually explain how the relationship with her dad was like. All right, that's about all you need to know beforehand, so now let's get into it.
Sure. So before I got into sort of experimenting with drugs, the last big fight that my dad and I had, I still remember it was in November 2016. It was early in the morning. I was still in my pajamas. I went to open the pantry to get something to eat. My dad said that there's food already. Told him I didn't want to eat that. I had a bad habit of rolling my eyes, and I didn't notice when sometimes I did it. So I guess I gave him attitude, and that just made my dad flip out. He completely exploded. And basically how this went is it started with the screaming. He would get in my face a lot and point his finger and put it in my face. And at this point, I was so tired emotionally. I think I just didn't care anymore about like what happened, about my life. So I would answer him back a lot. I was always very hard-headed. I always had a strong character in that sense. I would answer him back a lot, and that would just escalate things even more, which I knew, but I just didn't care. So he actually ended up grabbing me by my throat and throwing me against a door, like the pantry door actually came off the hinges type of thing. And it's one of those folding doors, so it's not hard to like take that off the hinges. It's not like he like threw me through a door, but just that. And then he grabbed me by my neck again, put me against another door. It was just a lot of screaming going on. We eventually got into my room. I had swords up. I had like weapons and stuff. He was like taking everything down and just like thrashing my room. At this point, I was scared for my life because there were swords up. I didn't know what he was going to do. My mom tried to get in between us. He like pushed her. She hit her head. She actually doesn't remember this part, but I just remember everything. And at this point, him and I are just screaming back and forth at each other. And obviously, I'm scared. He's much bigger than I am. So I run out into the kitchen while my mom's trying to hold him back. And I grab a kitchen knife and I pull it out on him. But how my kitchen is, it like comes to a corner. So I'm cornered at this point with the kitchen knife. He's laughing at me, telling me to use it. And at this point, like looking back on it, I know he was demonized, because what kind of person just laughs and is like, yeah, kill me. Go ahead, kill me. So, and I didn't want to use the knife on my dad. I was just scared. I was just cornered. So run out of the house. And he's still following me. Mind you, I'm barefoot. I'm still in my pajamas. It's like 9 a.m. in the morning. We used to have these little lights that you stick into the ground. They're solar powered. And I just remember being in such a fight or flight mode that I took one of those lights and I threw it at his head. And that just made him rage even more. So I dashed out the gate. My mom followed me. Obviously, you know, that motherly instinct. But I ran away as fast as I could. We actually ended up going to a neighbor's house, and you know, they saw the state that we were in, and we just wanted to, I don't even know what we were asking for. I don't know if we were asking for a phone or what, like to call somebody to come pick us up. But they just told us to calm down. They actually ended up calling the cops without us knowing. We were like, please don't call the cops. My mom just didn't want to get the cops involved. But they called the cops, and they came to our house. Basically, when they got back to the house, my dad was acting like nothing had happened, because this was a pattern. He would rage and then he would act like nothing happened. He would literally just black out. And so when they got there, he was washing his car. And basically what happened is that I was labeled as the unstable teenager. Since I had pulled the knife out on my dad, I was the one that ran away, and he was the one that was just completely calm when the cops came over. He was just washing his car. And I was, you know, crying, disheveled. I was trying to show the cops, you know, like the marks and all of that. But looking back on it now, I'm glad that nothing happened. Like, nobody was arrested. I just got sent to a foster home. Because I think it would have put a big strain on my family and things wouldn't have turned out the way they are now. But back then I was definitely upset. Like, why am I the one getting sent away? Why do I feel like there's never any justice, you know, regarding my life, regarding my dad? Like, what is going on? So I was sent away to a foster home. Luckily, my parents, I don't know how they did this, but they were able to talk to a family friend of ours, and they were the ones that actually ended up fostering me. So luckily I was with people that I knew. So it wasn't too strange of a feeling, but still very isolating because I got my phone taken away. I got just so much stuff taken away because I was supposed to be isolated. I think I kept my laptop because I told them that that's how I did homework. I had to be able to, you know, look online to see what was going on. So I kept my laptop. And so I was still kind of like chatting with people through there. I was using like Skype. So I was still in contact with my then boyfriend. So I would go out at night. I would leave the house at night. And this is something that my parents still don't know, or that foster family, but I would just, you know, tell him like, hey, at that time he had his, not driver's license, but his whatever, the permit. So he would come pick me up at the risk of maybe getting arrested. And we would just spend the night, or he would spend the night over. And I would lock the door, and then we were just basically, you know, having sex or whatever. That's the only thing that kept my mind occupied at that time. Because there came a point too where I was using the computer so much that my mom ended up taking it away from me. Because I would stay up until like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. on school nights, just on the computer. Because it was like the computer and sex was my addiction. So after that happens, I'm just really, really at a low point in my life. My then boyfriend and I end up kind of taking a break. Like I said, we were on and off, but we take a break. I start hanging out with his cousin, funny enough, and he's the one that introduces me to weed. Now, up until this point, I was very much like, I'm never going to smoke weed in my life. It's a drug. Da-da-da-da-da. I don't know what changed. Maybe I just saw that more people were doing it and they were fine. So I started experimenting with that. It started with edibles because they were easier to hide. And then he would roll stuff up for me and I would smoke it. I would, you know, this was before my parents had cameras around the house. So I would go out in the middle of the night and smoke, and that became my escape, because for once in my life there was a time where I wasn't scared. I wasn't thinking about all the past stuff that had happened to me. It was just like a fresh breath of air.
It's interesting. Okay, so I asked you the question earlier, we kind of glanced over it, but when you left the mental hospital, the things that you actually got involved with were meditation, lucid dreaming, a little bit of that to try to take the pain away. And then you talked about weed, which was the same exact principle. You wanted to get away from the reality, from the pain that you felt on the inside. That introduction to weed then led you to other stuff. A lot of people talk about weed being a gateway drug. A lot of people don't like that term, but the truth is it is a gateway to a lot of things for many people, whether you want to agree or not. That's the truth. So for you, that was the case.